From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Code of Honor on the outside. Vino Rosso, Dick Game at the rail. These two will decide a thrilling Jockey Club Gold Cup, and it is very close. It looked like Vino Rosso has edged out Code of Honor on the wire.
And Beau Recall in the center of the course. Mirth by 2.5. Beau Recall on the outside of Elysia's World, but they're only battling for second as Mirth makes every pole a winning one in the Rodeo Drive.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
And these two lay it on the line with a 16th to go, a late on the inside, Midnight Bizu on the outside. They're coming to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's so close.
A furlong left to run in the Oaks. It's Chauncey and the hometown favorite Late Night Powwow running her down. Chauncey and Late Night Powwow slug it out. Here's Late Night Powwow alongside of Chauncey. Noses up and down. Late Night Powwow wins it for West Virginia.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence on this Saturday morning, the first Saturday in the month of October. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky, as we continue to count down to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, which will be held November 1st and 2nd at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. For those of you wondering, now just 27 days, 5 hours, and 35 minutes away from horse racing's championship days. And to paraphrase a line from Monday Night Football, are you ready for some racing? Well, you should be. 18 win and you're in Breeders' Cup Challenge races set to be contested over the course of the next 2 days. 13 of those held here in the U.S. between Keeneland, Belmont, and Santa Anita. 5 at Longchamp in France. One of those 5 races is the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe with international superstar Enable, who is seeking a 3rd consecutive win in that prestigious race. Last year, she became just the 8th horse to win 2 renewals of the Arc. No horse has ever won 3. That's what's ahead of Enable today, and she certainly appears like she's coming into this race the right way and is up for the task, but hard to do. Hard to win that race 3 times. Never been done. We'll see if Enable can find a way to pull it off, and still hoping that her connections decide to send her over here to defend her title in the Breeders' Cup turf after this race today, but we'll just have to wait and see. Post time for the Arc tomorrow is 10.05 a.m. Eastern, 7.05 on the West Coast, and you can tune in to TVG with all the coverage there tomorrow. But boy, Enable, what a star she is. And if this is maybe her final start, or if they do decide to bring her over here, what a career it's been for a sensational filly. Don't forget that this afternoon we'll have live coverage of 6 of the Win and You're In races. We'll have that coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 to 6:30 Eastern on Sirius XM 156. Anthony Stabile, Steve Grabowski will bring you all the coverage from Keeneland and from Belmont. And then tomorrow, the Grade 1 Spinster, 5 o'clock Eastern Time is when we hit the airwaves. Again, Sirius XM 156 tomorrow. We'll also include a race or two from Belmont Park if we can squeeze it in, but certainly the Grade 1 Spinster, the highlight here in the Bluegrass tomorrow, and that coverage 5 o'clock Eastern. So 4 Eastern today, 5 Eastern tomorrow on Sirius XM 156. Yesterday, Keeneland opened the doors to their fall meet, and 2 horses punched their ticket to the Breeders' Cup. You had Engage, who won the Grade 2 Phoenix for Steve Asmussen and owners Woodford Racing under jockey Jose Ortiz. And you had British Idiom, who pulled off the victory in the Grade 1 Darley Alcibiades under Javier Castellano for the ownership group that includes Michael Dubb, Elkstone Group, and Matticat Stables. British Idiom trained by Brad Cox. And both Brad Cox and Jose Ortiz are going to be part of this show this morning. Brad's going to join me after our first commercial break right around 8:15, and Jose Ortiz right around 8:35 Eastern Time this morning. Second half of the program, we'll spend the full hour taking a look at all of those challenge races later today. I'll do that with my pair of longtime handicappers here on this show, John Gasper and Steve Castagnola, as they join me here in studio. We'll take a look at the races at Keeneland, at Belmont, and get to the race at Santa Anita, the Santa Anita Sprint Championship as well. Last week's show featured Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee and Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, and that turned out to be pretty appropriate when you look at what happened in the big races last weekend. Shug McGahee, the trainer of Code of Honor, wins the Jockey Club Gold Cup via the controversial disqualification of Vino Rosso, and I'm not going to spend much time on this morning because I was okay with the call. When you look at the head-on replay and you see Vino Rosso come out a few pass and interfere with Code of Honor, with the margin of victory being so slight, what was it, a nose? A long nose, maybe? It was tight. With the margin of victory being so slight, I'm okay with what the stewards did. Vino Rosso absolutely could have cost Code of Honor the opportunity to make up that nostril, that nose that he lost by. So I'm okay with that call. The Mike Smith thing is very, very interesting. Mike Smith, the all-time leading jockey in terms of number of wins in Breeders' Cup history, was aboard McKinsey. He finished second at odds of 1-5 to 25-1 shot Mongolian Groom. That was in the Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita. Yes, it was an interesting ride by Mike. There were a lot of ways that you can break this one down. But in the end, he was riding a horse that he was extremely confident on, a horse that was 1-5 in a race where a 25-1 shot and a 60-1 shot were dueling on the front end. Like the ride or not, McKinsey was still in a position to go by Mongolian Groom at the top of the stretch and had the full stretch to do it and couldn't get past him. You're 1-5. You're supposed to go by a 25-1 shot when you're in that position. McKinsey didn't do it. And maybe it's time that we start to admit that McKinsey might not be as good as advertised. He's been the number one horse on the Breeders' Cup polls for the Breeders' Cup Classic all year, the NTRA polls. He's been right there. Maybe he's just not that good. He had his chances, despite what you think of that ride. He had his chances. And looking ahead to the potential of him being the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic, which I think by most accounts people are thinking he will be, if not the favorite, among the favorites, I think you have to be licking your chops to bet against him at a short price. Well, Mike Smith not going to be aboard him in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Bob Baffert coming out after that race saying he will make a change. Still going to use Mike on other horses, but going to make a change on McKinsey in the Classic. Interesting decision. As I told you, Mike Smith has won more Breeders' Cup races than any jockey in history. They call him Big Money Mike because when you really need to win in a big race, he's the guy you want on your horse. And oh, by the way, he's the only rider McKinsey has ever known. That'll change come November 2nd at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So that leads me to my poll question for this morning. If you owned a horse and were told you can only run in one race, you get one shot to win a race, which jockey would you choose to ride your horse? You can go to at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and you can email me, email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net with your answers to that question, thoughts on that decision to take Mike Smith off of McKinsey, thoughts on the disqualification of Vino Rosso. Maybe you don't agree with me. Maybe you think it was a horrible call. I was okay with it. But here's the poll question one more time. If you owned a horse and were told you can only run in one race, which jockey would you choose to ride your horse? Who's your go-to jockey? Let me know at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. All right, Brad Cox is going to join me coming up in just a few minutes after our first commercial break. I'll get a chance to talk to him about that huge win in the Darley Alcibiades yesterday, and look ahead to his runners today. Jose Ortiz, 8:35 Eastern Time. Our Philly Focus segment, which is presented by Paramount Sales, comes your way later in the first hour. I'll take a look at the First Lady at Keeneland later today. And the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is also coming your way later in this first half of the program. Hour two, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola. They'll be in studio to look at all the big races coming up around the country later this afternoon. That's all ahead on a very busy Saturday morning here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Racing fans, with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming to Santa Anita for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, top sprinters, including Omaha Beach, the early favorite for this year's Kentucky Derby, are expected to prep here on Saturday for the $2 million Breeders' Cup Sprint in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Also on Saturday, we'll have the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile and the Grade 3 LA Woman Stakes. First post time this weekend is at 12:30. Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Maximus Mischief, the fastest two-year-old ever by leading sire into mischief.
Maximus Mischief running away at the end in an impressive debut.
The fastest Remsen winner in recent years.
And it's Maximus Mischief proving he's the real deal.
And with a 98 buyer speed figure, the fastest two-year-old of 2018.
Maximus Mischief, one small step closer to Louisville.
Max speed, max strength, max power. Maximus Mischief, standing new at Spendthrift.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Here comes British Idiom to challenge Sequin, who took the lead briefly on the far turn. They're past the quarter pole, but now has British Idiom right alongside to the top of the short stretch. A gap of five lengths, Perfect Alibi in third, Gone Glimmering is in fourth. They turn for home. British Idiom has the lead, opening up by five in the final furlong. Perfect Alibi second, Sequin third, Gone Glimmering is fourth, Alondra far back in fifth. Final furlong of the Darley Alcibiades. It is all British Idiom to win it for Javier Castellano convincingly.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Friends on this Saturday morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Kurt Becker on the call of yesterday's Darley Alcibiades. Kurt will be part of our broadcast team later this year at Santa Anita as we bring you exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup Championship race here on HRRN. British Idiom, as you heard in the call, ridden by Javier Castellano, trained by Brad Cox, who has been so, so good for so many years. He has now trained 1,208 winners in his career, and that total includes those three victories that he had yesterday, two at Keeneland, one at Belmont Park, but none more special than that Grade 1 Darley Alcibiades win. And Brad is with me now here on HRRN. Brad, good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Things are good, my friend. Are you still kind of on a high after that big win?
Absolutely. Yeah, we had several breezers this morning at Churchill, just kind of wrapping things up. But, yeah, that's a win you definitely savor for a while. They're far and few between the Grade 1s.
Yeah, what's that like for a trainer when you show up to work the next day? Is it kind of like a victory lap around the racetrack where everybody's coming up and shaking your hand and congratulating you?
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, makes it easier to get up in the morning. I can tell you that when just having good horses to look at, watch them work, watch them breeze, check them the next day, post race, stuff like that. So, it's good horses. It's what you get up every day and do this for, is to, have horses that move forward, young horses, Oaks, Derby, Breeders' Cup type horses, what you're looking for. So it definitely makes getting up a little easier, I promise you that.
Yeah, and you've been around so many good ones, but certainly British Idiom is looking the part at this point in her career. And let's remind people, this was only her second career start. She's now a perfect 2-for-2 after breaking her maiden at Saratoga back in the middle of August. Look back on that race from yesterday. She won very impressively, very easily. Share your thoughts on the performance.
To think she was going to go over and perform like that, no way. I mean, she just spectacular performance. And, watching the race, she broke well. I thought Javier did a great job of keeping her up in the race, not necessarily on the lead, exactly what you like to see, just setting off a couple horses, a relatively, reasonable pace. Up the backside, I think she was laying fourth, and I looked at my assistant and I said, she's in a perfect spot. I mean, she's got no excuse from here. And then when she ranged up to the leaders, at the 3/8 pole, I kind of started looking at some of the horses behind her. I was like, I think she's got these in front of her, the ones she's come up to fairly easy. I think she can go by these. And then obviously I was kind of looking for Perfect Alibi and Shug's Philly. And I saw Perfect Alibi. I was kind of under a rat. I was saying, if she responds when Javier asks her, this thing's over. And she did. And, the only thing I told Javier, you can't tell a guy, I don't give him any instructions at all to jocks, but the only thing I told him, I said, it's a short wire, so don't short stretch.
Yeah.
First wire, so just when you turn for home, have her in position. And he did just that, and she responded well. It was a very, very impressive race.
Did you know this filly could be this good and this caliber when you first laid eyes on her?
No way.
Really?
Well, not when I first laid eyes on her. No.
Yeah.
You have to go through several steps and, obviously months and months of preparation to, really get a line on them. But we had this filly at Keeneland, then we moved her to Ellis this summer, and she was really stepping up and, acting like she was a good horse. And we brought her to Churchill with the intent of running her at Saratoga, and we just left her at Churchill. I can't remember exactly how it was, but I just know her last work before she ran at Saratoga was from the gate at Churchill, and thought, this filly's going to be awfully tough at Saratoga in this auction race. We liked her a lot. Come to find out, it was like that morning there was a buzz. I was actually at Churchill the day she broke her maiden at Saratoga, but there was a little buzz. I kept hearing like, this trainer likes his horse, this trainer likes his horse. There's like four or five of them in there. I think lots of times, I thought she would have been bet down a little more, and she wasn't. I just think it was a lot of people liked their horses in the race, and the filly that was second obviously came back and broke her maiden at Belmont, which was a positive, just a couple weeks ago. So, I think it was, even though it was a restricted maiden race, I think it was a decent, strong maiden race as well. So she received a big figure out of it, too. That was the one thing that, I think John Panagot sent me the rag number, a couple days later, and I thought, if she moves forward off that, she's a serious horse, and she obviously did. It just took us a while to get her back to the races. We were pointing for the Pocahontas, and she, the week before, she breezed, and the breeze was just okay, and we just pulled a blood on her, and her blood count was off a little bit, so we just decided to skip the Pocahontas and point for the Alcibiades.
I'm talking with trainer Brad Cox, looking back on yesterday's big win in the Grade 1 Darlie Alcibiades with British Idiom. She has now punched her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, which will be held at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. About, well, 1 month from today will be Breeders' Cup Saturday. Brad, what do you do now over the next 4 weeks to make sure that she stays in peak form and she's ready to fire her best shot in the Breeders' Cup?
Well, just, you know, as of right now, you know, I believe we have a plane scheduled to go out on Tuesday before, so that's the 29th. We'll just go out then with whatever we have that's earned, whatever earns their way to the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, just two works, I think. You know, nothing fancy. I mean, you know, she got a lot out of yesterday's race, being the second career start, and, you know, just hoping she comes out of it in good shape. So far, so good. She scoped great last night, looked good last night. Put her to bed, and she looked good this morning. So, you know, everything's positive with her. We'll to this point, and, you know, like I said, we'll bring her back to Churchill, work her twice, and then off to California the Tuesday before, as long as everything goes well.
Well, and you get an opportunity to maybe add a couple more Grade Ones to your resume later today. You have Juliet Foxtrot going in the Grade One First Lady here at Keeneland, and then you'll send out in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic at Belmont Park, you'll send out Arklow in there. So let's start with Juliet Foxtrot. Tell me a little bit about her.
Really nice filly. I mean, it took a really tough beat in California last time. Again, was beaten by a filly, I think, the 2018 races in Basilicus. So, and I think right at the wire is the only time she was in front of us. We got back in front of her, past the wire, and galloped out great. Really nice filly. Think the world of her. Very, very classy filly to deal with, and just a real, real nice filly to train. I mean, just very straightforward, does everything you like, want to see a horse do of the mornings and obviously the afternoons as well, since she's been here in North America. And just amazing filly. Not real big. I mean, she's you know, she's a beautiful filly, beautiful eye on her, beautiful head, but just not a big filly, typical, I think, grass filly. You know, I think to cut back in a mile, to a mile, I think is a. I think she can do anything between a mile, maybe even a mile and a quarter, anything in there. But I always like a horse that, you know, ran a mile and an eighth last time, cutting back to the mile. Today I think is a positive. Thought she drew well in the race. Looks like on paper there's some speed. I'm hoping she can kind of just break, settle, kind of shut off a little bit going into the first turn and up the backside. And if she does that, she'll be very, very competitive today. I think a lot of this filly, and I think she's, you know, hopefully can, you know, get some Grade One placing, maybe hopefully a Grade One win. And I think, you know, I think the plan right now is to race her next year, and I really think she's got a big future.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the mile and an eighth cutting back to a mile later on this afternoon and how much you like that move. I've heard other people talk about horses making that move too. Why can that be so successful?
I guess it's just a fitness thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I know we've had the filly in training all year, but, you know, there's a lot of angles in racing that, you know, you can, you know, I sometimes like, you know, even if a horse runs well on the dirt, going to the turf, it's almost like you trick them a little bit, you know, I feel like you can have a little more confidence when you're shortening a horse up as opposed to stretching one out. Because, you know, the further you go, it's, I guess, the unknown. But, you know, she performed well at a mile at Keeneland this spring, so we know she can do it. She didn't really shut off and rate that well that day. I wish she would have, you know, relaxed a little more. But it was her first start off a long layoff. I think Florent kind of asked her to run a little bit early, and she was just kind of on the go, like I said, from off running fresh off the layoff. But she's moved forward, and she responds to what the riders want. We've had three different jocks on her this year, and, you know, they've all gotten along with her well. So I think Florent obviously knows her. He's rode her twice before and been able to get her there both times. So hopefully, like I said, if she can get that good trip and relax a little bit early, she'll be tough.
Yeah, you've had her for four starts now in North America. Her first one, as you alluded to, was at Keeneland last April after she campaigned in her native Great Britain. When you get a horse like that, Brad, that comes in from overseas, is there a difference in training them or getting them used to racing here in America as opposed to horses that are already based here and trained here? Is it a different animal there?
Not really.
No.
I mean, honestly, most of them seem to, you know, fall right in. And, you know, I've obviously never been on horses that trained in Europe, you know, over in Europe. I don't know, I think they trained a lot of films throughout, you know, trails and stuff. But no, they all seem to fall in here and, you know, train well and go to the track, and, you know, they don't have any trouble getting around the turns. But most of the time, yeah, for the most part, all of them handle it real well. I guess the only thing really, the difference, it seems like a lot of some of the horses, you know, obviously the gate, you know, I'll always take them to the gate and just pop them out once or twice just to make sure they you know, we don't get left. It seems like in Europe there's not quite as much emphasis, obviously, on speed and, you know, being involved early in the race, where even on the grass here you still have to be, you know, somewhat close. Races are just run a little quicker. But that would probably be the biggest thing, is probably the gate.
Yeah, interesting. Brad Cox here on HRRN. Arklow is your horse in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic at Belmont later today. Look, this horse, 5 years old, as honest as they come, he always runs his race. How nice is it to have a horse like this?
I mean, he's solid. I mean, he shows up every time. He's been just some unfortunate trips. I mean, remember, I shouldn't even say that. He just hasn't got there this year. I mean, he runs, and, you know, I think the mile and a half distance is definitely his thing. He likes that. And last time at Kentucky Downs, I don't really think that course was playing to his style. It was pretty firm, hard. I think he likes a little cut in the ground. He can run on a firm turf. He did last time. But he had to be awfully close last time, it seemed like, at Kentucky Downs, and that's just not his thing or his game. So, you know, I think he kind of was up against it last time at Kentucky Downs, and hopefully he likes Belmont. He's performed well. They're in the Man of War earlier in the year, so I'm hoping he can repeat of that effort. He'll be right there.
Yeah, you make a change in rider because of Florent Giroux being here at Keeneland to ride for you. Obviously, he can't ride both places, so Junior Alvarado is aboard. Why does he seem like a fit for Arklow?
Junior's a strong finisher. He's patient. I know he rides a lot for Bill Mott. He does a great job for him. And you know, I haven't rode Junior much, but a couple starts with him, and we haven't got there. But he's always rode the horse as well, and you know, he was available. And we kind of was a little, I wouldn't say late decision to go into Joe Hirsch, but we were looking at that in the Canadian International, and that's where we landed there at Belmont. So hopefully it'll be a good choice.
All right, Brad, I know it's a busy morning for you. We'll let you go. All the best later this afternoon, and good luck in those races, and congratulations again on that huge win at Keeneland here yesterday.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Brad Cox here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, boy, is he on a roll, huh? Brad Cox, just an opportunity. And I'll tell you, he has a chance in both of those races. Those are good horses. I could certainly see Brad Cox winning a couple more grade ones later today, at least one of those two. He's live in both of those races. And British Idiom on her way to the Juvenile Fillies by virtue of that victory in the Darley Alcibiades yesterday. Jose Ortiz also had a big day at Keeneland yesterday. A few wins for him, including that win in your in race, the Phoenix Stakes, which he was able to get the victory aboard Engage. Going to talk to Jose coming up after your next segment here. It is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. It's brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington, right on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. Here in Lexington, Kentucky, you go see the Godfather and all the great folks at the Lexus Store, and you tell them that you heard about them right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and you want to talk to the Godfather, and you want to test drive a brand new Lexus. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. We're back with Jose Ortiz right after this.
Nine horses answered the call to post in early May of 1957 for the running of the singular most famous race in America, the Kentucky Derby. The drama had unfolded in part in the early morning hours on that Saturday on Churchill's backstretch at 7 in the morning when Calumet Farms' General Duke stood blanketed in the aisle of Barn 15 while veterinarian Alex Harthill and trainer Jimmy Jones lifted his left foreleg to examine an area which had been the subject of speculation and concern since he'd come back from a second-place finish to Federal Hill in the Derby trial the previous Tuesday a little bit sore. The final call was up to Jones, and even though it was only a bruise, it was pretty sore. General Duke had blown out a quarter in 24 that morning and had shown nothing untoward in his movement in that outing, but he limped ever so slightly while being cooled out. By 10 in the morning, the decision was made and General Duke would not go postward this day in the run for the Roses. In the field were Bold Ruler, Indian Creek, Gallant Man, Federal Hill, Betterby, Shanpack, Round Table, Iron Liege, and Mr. Jive. It was a chilly day in the River City of Louisville, the temperature hovering in the 40s, and that gave cause to the holding down of both the crowd and the mutual handle. Bold Ruler was a 6-5 post-time favorite, with both Gallant Man and Round Table highly regarded as challengers. With General Duke out of the race, the other half of the Calumet entry, Iron Liege, was far less regarded and was 8-1 at post-time. Starter Jim Thompson got the field away to an excellent start. Federal Hill, trying to give Louisville its first hometown win since Old Rosebud in 1914, quickly stepped to the front as expected. Down the long straight and on beneath the hallowed twin spires past the stands for the first time, it was Federal Hill, Bull Ruler, Iron Liege, and Round Table in that order. On around the turn, they maintained the same positions, with the first half going in 47 flat. Down the backside, both the front-running Federal Hill and Bull Ruler drifted out a little bit. That left just enough room down along the fence to let the wily Bill Hartack send Iron Liege along to within a hop length of the lead. The first six panels had been covered in 111-2. As they approached the far turn, Federal Hill slanted back in toward the rail, and Hartack, fearing he would be shut off, took up a little bit and decided to go on around the front runner. It was Federal Hill by three parts of a length, Iron Liege and Bold Ruler, as they hit the top of the stretch. Hartack had utilized another ploy of a crafty reinsman by using both Federal Hill and Bold Ruler as a windbreak or part of the run down the backstretch, and there was a stiff breeze blowing down the backside, and in so doing, he had saved as much of his horse as he possibly could. Midway through the far turn, Hartack turned his mount up a notch, and it brought him up abreast of Federal Hill as the two matched strides on down to the 3/16 pole. Iron Liege gained bit by bit and in a half a length lead at the 8th pole, but Bill Shoemaker had Gallant Man going full throttle, and he was eating up ground with every stride on the outside. He was now only a half length behind Federal Hill and a length behind the leader, Iron Liege. He had been 7th after a half, some 13 lengths out of it. He had closed to 5th, just 5 off the leader, Federal Hill, at the quarter pole, and was picking him up and laying him down, passing his horses. Just inside the 8th pole, he passed Federal Hill and took dead aim at Iron Liege, with Round Table now 3rd. At the 16th pole, Gallant Man had shoved his nose in front of Iron Liege and appeared to be an absolutely certain winner. Wait just 1 minute. Shoemaker stood up in the irons, mistaking the finish line. That momentary lapse cost him the victory by a long nose, as he recovered to get back in full stride too late. Iron Liege, the Calumet second stringer, with Hartack notching the first of his eventual 6 Derby scores, and Calumet racking up its 6th Derby winner, had upset the dope. It was memorable for a couple of reasons. First of all, the absence of General Duke, and, more importantly, the miscalculation of Shoemaker, who stood up a 16th too soon. In May 1957, in the Kentucky Derby, a most memorable moment in thoroughbred racing, and in its own way, a great moment in racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are you'll have a fabulous time. Live racing Friday through Sunday. Post time, 1:10 p.m.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Lexatonian tries to move up in the center of the track from fourth into third, still three lengths off the lead. Zip on by the leader. Zip on by a length and a half. Lexatonian to second off the far turn. And here comes Engage down the center of the racetrack from third. It's wide open. Promises Fulfilled drops back. Recruiting Ready has running room now to the inside. Hog Free Custle is running late. A driving finish. Late charge from Whitmore. Trying to catch Engage. Engage has the lead. Whitmore's running out of time. Engage in front. Engage wins the stall. Keenan Ogden Phoenix for Jose Ortiz.
Yeah, they weren't going to catch Engage yesterday because Engage had the services of the outstanding jockey Jose Ortiz. Couldn't run him down. He was too good. And he's on his way to the Breeders' Cup with that win in the Phoenix at Keeneland yesterday. Kurt Becker with the call. Mike Penna back with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios and welcoming Jose Ortiz, who is a native of Puerto Rico and has won more than 1,900 races in what has been just a stellar career. And that career is still going strong, and he's with me now here on HRRN. Jose, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking a little time. I know you're busy working horses this morning. It never ends, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Not if you want to be the best, which right now you certainly are, my friend. And, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned being a native of Puerto Rico. One of the jockeys who mentored you when you came here and one of the people that you looked up to is Hall of Famer John Velasquez, who last week set the record for most greatest stakes victories by a jockey in the history of the sport, and that has to make you very proud. I know that.
Yeah, we are very happy about it, and he keeps going strong, you know. Hopefully he can keep winning some more and keep winning as much as he can until he retires, you know.
What makes him so good?
I think just he got a lot of discipline for the sport, and I think that haven't taken him to the next level where he's been for a while, you know.
Yeah, he certainly he's been doing it for a long time and still doing it at a very high level. How many greatest stakes victories are you behind him now?
I don't know. I should have maybe close to 200, so I got a long way to go.
Yeah, one day. Well, that win yesterday in the Phoenix was impressive. This is a horse you've been on before. You knew him. You get back aboard him yesterday, and he's able to hold off Whitmore, who was putting in that late run. Take me through the race, Jose.
Well, we broke very good. I was expecting a much faster pace, but they didn't came out as fast as I thought they would. And I was able to be closer than I thought I was going to be. So I think it worked out well. And we have a very clean trip. when I asked him to go, he was there for me the whole time, you know?
He's a horse by Into Mischief that when you were riding him last year and even this year at Saratoga, he was trained by Chad Brown. Now he's trained by Steve Asmussen. When you were riding him before, he was always knocking on the door, but he couldn't quite get past horses like Promises Fulfilled. You know, yesterday you beat him and everybody else. Is there a difference? Did you feel something different now with Engage than you did last year?
No, he always been a very nice horse. I think some horses mature before others, and I think he take a while, but I think he finally figured it out, you know?
Did you know that Whitmore was gaining on you yesterday?
I didn't know it was Whitmore, but I felt somebody coming at me. So.
You can tell.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
Did you know you had enough left in the tank?
He's very game. He always has been. And I knew he was going to try, but, you know, sometimes these older horses, you know, he's just turned four. So these older horses are seasoned, and they are very good, you know. When they come in at you. Like Whitmore, you know, he's a very nice horse.
You know, that win in the Phoenix was part of a multi-win day on opening day of Keeneland. You've had several days in your career where you've won multiple races like that. I asked you what makes John Velasquez so good. What makes Jose Ortiz so good?
I don't know. Let somebody answer that question. I just try to be myself and give the horses the best chance to win.
But you also work very hard. I mentioned you were out working horses this morning. I know you're being humble, and that's what's part of what makes you so good. But Jose, you work your tail off, and put me in the saddle with you for a minute, if you will, if I can use that term. Take me through like your routine and your approach to riding races. How do you get ready to go out there every day and ride?
Well, first, everything starts when the overnight comes out. So I have to see which horse I'm on. And from there, I go DRF and handicap the races. And I put them wherever I think they should be. And, you know, I have to talk to the trainers and follow their instructions. But at the same time, I want the horse to be comfortable and relaxed, and that's what I try to do. Let the horse be happy, and I think if they're comfortable and relaxed, they will give you a good run in the end of it.
Yeah, you know, Johnny will always tell me about his different plans that he has going into the starting gate, the plan A, the plan B, the plan C, and you hope you don't have to get any further than that. But once the gates open, you can listen to the trainer's instructions all day long, but once the gates open, things can change quickly, right?
Very quickly, yeah.
What do you do at that point? Do you say, oh, my God, I got to follow his instructions? Or do you say, I just got to let my instincts take over and try to ride this race the way it needs to be ridden now?
No, you got to let your instinct take over. Because it's very tough to execute a plan when the plan doesn't work from the gate, you know?
Yep.
You got to change everything, so I think you just got to change it.
Yeah, everything
you could do.
Everything changes, and you just have to adjust. And that's why I've always said, you know, jockeys, in terms of, there's always that debate, are jockeys true athletes? And I think, you know, I've said it for years, but pound for pound, jockeys, the most gifted athletes that we find in all the sports. And I have no doubt about it. And you are certainly right there, Jose. Let's talk about the horses that you are going to be aboard today. You're in all of the greatest stakes races at Keeneland, which is to be expected. Matter of fact, I think you might be riding every single race at Keeneland today. Nice to be in demand. Extravagant Kid is a horse you're going to be aboard in the Woodford Stakes. That's the first greatest stakes today. What can you tell me about Extravagant Kid?
Very nice horse. I had the opportunity to ride him one time before, and we won. He's doing very good. very fast horse, doesn't need to be on the lead, which is very helpful. We like his chances today. We think he's very live, so going to try to win it.
All right, and then in the next race, the TCA, Talk Vouv to me, and I think I'm saying that name correctly, but Talk Vouv to me, the horse you're going to be aboard there. You've been aboard her the last two starts, second last time out in the Presque Isle Downs Master Stakes on September 16th. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, she's very nice to ride, very easy. Last two times she has run very, very good. And we are expecting a similar or better effort than last two times. I think she got a very good shot.
All right, and then in the First Lady, turn our attention there. You go to the First Lady Stakes. Miss Bad Behavior for Richard Baltus is the horse you're aboard. What do you know about her?
I won on her on Kentucky Downs. She got some speed, but it's also some speed on the race. So let's see how the race develops, because she doesn't need the lead also. She can come from off it. And we got a good post, so let it break and make sure she's in a winning position going to the first turn, you know.
Yeah, how much different is riding this Keeneland turf course than a course like Kentucky Downs? I know Kentucky Downs has the undulating up and down configuration. How much different is it?
Well, Keeneland is more like what we do every day, you know, same kind of, you know, oval, same thing. But Kentucky Down is just different. You go up and down, left, right. So I think in Kentucky Down, it's all about the horse. If the horse like it, you're going to be okay. If the horse doesn't like it, nothing you can do about it. He's not going to like it.
Well, let's hope that Miss Bad Behavior likes the Keeneland turf course later today. In the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, Max Field for Brendan Walsh. It's the second time that Brendan will give you a leg up in a graded stakes today. Tell me about Max Field. You won on him last time out, too.
Yeah, very nice colt. He went first time out very nicely. Actually, that day, it was a speed favor track. Nobody was coming from behind. And he did, which is very impressive to me. So we think we have something here. We have a very nice colt, so hopefully put it together today and stay undefeated.
Yeah, two for two. All right, and the last one, Admission Office. This is a horse who you rode last year but haven't been on him for the last four starts. So you get back aboard Admission Office, and that is in the Shadwell Turf Mile. Tell me about him and what you remember about riding him before.
He's a very cool horse to ride, very easy going. And to be honest, I love him today. I think we had a huge shot to win this race. I love him.
Really? How come?
Because I think he's a nice horse. He fit the track. He come from behind. And here, sometimes in other tracks, you have to rush these horses a little bit because the stretch is short. Here, I wouldn't have to because we got a long stretch in here. So I think he will fit the track. I mean, he did already. I think he won here, or he run very good with Joel.
Yep.
So I think he's going to run a big race.
Yeah, you can tell what makes Jose Ortiz so good. He knows every race that these horses have run before he gets aboard, and he did indeed win three starts back at Keeneland in the spring with Joel Rosario aboard, winning an allowance race, getting up by a neck, and Admission Office, the horse that Jose will be aboard in today's Shadwell Turf Mile. Jose, I know it's a busy morning. I know you've got horses to work, so I won't keep you. Thank you so much for spending a little time. Congrats on all your success, my friend, and I'll look forward to catching up with you as we make our way to Santa Anita in about a month.
All right, Mike. Thank you, guys.
All right. Jose Ortiz here on HRN. Recently, what was it, October 2nd was his birthday? I should have wished him a happy birthday. See? I could have done that. October 2nd. Was 26 now, right? Jose Ortiz. Yeah. He is just so good. He, his brother, Irad, and they learn from the best. They grew up idolizing and learning from John Velasquez. And they, you know what strikes me? When I first started talking with them, when they first came here, they didn't have an ego. They were humble enough to listen to Johnny, to listen to Angel Cordero, and to take their advice. And now look, it's where it's gotten them. And they worked their tail off, too. He was humble when I asked him that question, but he works his tail off. And Jose Ortiz, admission office, loves him today. Keep an eye on that horse in the Shadwell Turf Mile. He said it. Loves him in the Shadwell Turf. That's race 10 at Keeneland. We're going to take a look at that race and all of the stakes races taking place around the country today with John Gasper and Steve Castagnola in the second half of the show, 9 to 10. They'll both be in studio with me, and we'll look at all those big races coming up. Time now for a special segment. It is your Paramount Sales Philly Focus.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one athlete.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
Yeah, and today's Philly race, the main Philly race, if you will, at Keeneland, is the Grade 1 First Lady. 1 mile on the turf. It's a big field, a field of 14, post time 5:04 Eastern. It will be part of our exclusive coverage this afternoon on the network, which begins at 4 o'clock Eastern time. You can tune in. Sirius XM 156 is your home for that coverage this afternoon. And the First Lady, part of that. Big field, 14 horses. Four horses are in single digits on the morning line. Everybody else, double-digit odds. So if you don't like one of those four, you're going to get paid. But one of those four is Rushing Fall. And Rushing Fall is really good for trainer Chad Brown. She had her four-race win streak snapped in the Grade 1 Diana last time out when she was beaten by another pretty good filly in Sister Charlie. She was second that day. She's looking for revenge under Javier Castellano today. And if she runs her race, everybody else is running for second money. Rushing Fall loves Keeneland. She's a perfect 4-for-4 over that turf course. She's 4-for-4 at the distance of today's race. She's going to take a lot of beating. She's 9-to-5 on the morning line. If you get 9-to-5 on Rushing Fall and today's First Lady, I think you jump all over it. I don't think you're going to get 9-to-5, though. The daughter of More Than Ready certainly looks like she's ready to roll. Second choice on the morning line is Uni, another Chad Brown trainee. Surprise, surprise. Joel Rosario going to be aboard Uni, who last time out faced the boys in the four-star Dave, ran a really good race, came from far back. She was 8 of 10 early, came rolling at the end, finishing third, beaten 2.5 lengths. And she was beaten by Got Stormy, who's pretty good too. Vasilica, third choice at 5-to-1. Juliet Foxtrot, you heard Brad Cox talk about her earlier, 8-to-1, fourth choice on the morning line. But it's a really good renewal of the First Lady. And again, it'll be part of our coverage. 5:04 Eastern time is the post for that race. And our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern. And this segment brought to you by our friend Pat Costolo and Paramount Sales. And just want to mention, too, Andrea Greathouse, who works in the office at Paramount, is one of three finalists in the administration division of the Godolphin Awards, which are going to be held next Friday. And the folks at Paramount want to let her know how proud they are of her. She works tirelessly in the office. And you're not fooling me, Andrea. We know you're the one running the show over there, not Costolo. So congratulations, Andrea. Good luck with those awards coming up later this week. We're going to take a quick break. This break includes this word from Paramount Sales, and then I'm back with your Industry Star of the Week right after this.
Paramount Sales has long been a perennial leading consigner in North America. Since their inception in 2001, Paramount has sold many sale toppers and has been at or near the top of every sale in which they've consigned horses by average. Recent greatest stakes winning graduates include Gormley.
Gormley takes the lead.
Instagram.
Instagram could not have been more impressive.
Bulletin.
Bulletin is a Breeders' Cup winner.
And Bourbon Resolution.
Bourbon Resolution is long gone.
Learn more at ParamountSales.net.
The Woodbine fall turf season continues with stakes action every weekend. Join us for live racing every Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. Eastern, Friday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 p.m. On October 12th, Grade 1 turf racing returns as the world comes to Woodbine for the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International and the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor Stakes. For more racing and horse player information, please visit woodbine.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, October 12th for the 33rd annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics. It's the premier night of racing for West Virginia Breds on the calendar and features this year's Charlestown Classic champion, Runnin' to Love Ya. He looked to become racing's newest millionaire while joining the likes of the great Russell Road as a repeat winner of the West Virginia Breeders' Classic. The card features 9 stakes races worth $1 million in total. It's all coming up on Saturday, October 12th here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler, who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree, with First Crop Yearling selling for up to $250,000 at Keeneland this November. Look for 9 yearlings by Anchor Down selling at Fasig Tipton October. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
550, and then you're going to just say yes. 550, 60. 550, 60, where? 550, 560, and I have Mitchell, $550,000, thank you.
That's the way it sounded at the recently concluded Keeneland September yearling sale. Hip number 405, a colt by Darley Stallion Nyquist out of Foley Living, purchased by Bradley Thoroughbreds for $550,000. Nyquist, the number one First Crop yearling sire of 2019 by both average and median, and that makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, an Eclipse champion at 2 when he won 3 Grade 1s, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He went on to become the first champion 2-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the great Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slew. Learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
They're at the top of the stretch. Bast on the outside of Comical, head and head. Two more to Ben studying her in third. There's an eighth of a mile to go. Comical, a very tough customer on the inside of Bast. Bast now puts her head in front. Comical will fight her all the way to the wire. Three more to KP Dreamin'. It's Bast just in front of Comical. Bast, Comical, and Bast has won the Chandelier Stakes over Comical. KP Dreamin' third. Another incredible milestone for John Velasquez, who is now the all-time leader in graded stakes wins.
Well, there you have it. Frank Miramati with the call of the Chandelier Stakes at Santa Anita last weekend. And John Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, just adding to his legacy by becoming the all-time leading jockey in terms of number of graded stakes victories. And because of that, John Velasquez is your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And yesterday, Johnny took time to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at Belmont Park in New York. And here's what he had to say about reaching that milestone.
We are here with the
winningest rider in the history of graded stakes here in North America, the one and only John Velasquez, Hall of Famer, over 660. We know that that's over 660. We're still counting. Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
You've said countless times the numbers, not really something you pay attention to. But even you, something like this, this has to resonate at some point, doesn't it?
I don't know. You know, listen, I'm here to do a job, and that's where I'm proud of it. You know, I really take pride of what I do, and it doesn't matter what kind of race it is or anything, but I want to win races. And I'm being very blessed to have the opportunities to work with a lot of good people and a lot of good horses that give you the opportunities to be where I am today. And that's the way I look at life and my career, though. You know, if I can perform and I can do the best job I can, I'm going to be rewarded later on. So numbers comes after. You know, one day when I look back and I'm retired, it's like, well, you know, I accomplished something very, very good. But I'm still here. I'm riding. So my mind and concentration is to win races and to do the best job that I can. And so that I put that behind, yeah.
Besides us in the media, who's the one that reminds you the most about these things? Is it your agent? Is it Angel?
No, actually, he knows better to approach me with different numbers and everything, because I know that I tell him all the time that I don't really care, you know, just concentrate and get the best mount you can, that I can do the best job I can. So I know he's very proud on all the numbers and all the accomplishments that we have had in, you know, in our career. But I keep him level-headed, you know. I just keep him aware. It's like, let's concentrate and win in races and forget about the numbers.
It's great. The jockey has to keep the agent level-headed through all of these accolades and great things. Still, could you ever imagine when you were a kid growing up in Puerto Rico that you'd get to these levels? Forget about in the United States, just anywhere in your career?
Yeah, I never had my dreams, really. I mean, I came into New York. You know, being a jockey, I didn't have a family or anybody involved in racing. So I learned racing as it went, you know, so the years gone by, and I learned everything that I had to do with racing. You know, I just love horses, love racing, and I wanted to compete and do well, though, you know. And as the years went on, you know, looking and following all the riders, and you get competitive and you want to do what they do and how they do it, and you wish that you get the opportunities that they got. And obviously, I've been very blessed that I had those opportunities. And that's what it is. It takes, you know, opportunities, and for you to show a little bit of your talents, and from the other rest of history, though, you know, to just get to do the job the best you can, and I think you produce and you get a better opportunities.
What did it feel like to do it out in California? I think a lot of people thought you would do it here somewhere on the East Coast, maybe even at Saratoga or Belmont. How did it feel to do it for Bob Baffert out in California?
Listen, it feels great no matter what you do it, though. You know, it's just, like I said, I go any place that I had to do the job that I need to do, you know, and I concentrate on that. The rest of the stuff is comes after, you know, just like I said before, you know, numbers and stuff comes after. I want to go wherever I can and win races and to do the best job I can do.
We won't bother you with the numbers, but if you had to pick one graded stakes race throughout your career, what would it be?
I don't know. You know, there's so all of them that bring you different emotions and different memories, I would say. But, you know, Derby, because Derby is the race that everybody, you know, thinks about it and put you in the different map, if you will. You know, all those Derbies, actually, I won it twice, so be very fortunate. But I have to say, winning with Rags to Riches and the Belmont is probably one of the sticks in my mind a lot. Obviously, winning with the filly against the colts and beating the horse that she beat that day. So definitely a special day.
663 and counting. John Velasquez, here's to many more.
Thank you very much. Hopefully, yes.
Our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, Hall of Famer John Velasquez.
Yeah, my thanks to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and to Johnny V for taking the time yesterday to sit down and visit for that segment. And that segment brought to you every week by Stuart Morris, offering a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. Wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales. And you know, when he came up with the concept of that segment and he wanted to sponsor that segment here on the program, it was to recognize individuals in the sport, not only at the top of the sport like Johnny V, but even behind the scenes, who are doing things the right way in thoroughbred racing. Johnny, more than deserving of that honor, a great family man, a great person, and a phenomenal jockey, one of the best that we've ever seen. And again, my thanks to each of them, Big A, and to Johnny for taking the time. Going to come back and take a look at all the big races around the country in the second half of the program. I'll do that with my good friend John Gasper from John Gasper Bloodstock right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the final furlong. Code of Honor, Ocho Gusto, and Tacitus. Code of Honor has taken the lead, and Code of Honor and John Velasquez have won the run, Happy Travers.
McKenzie is all out, but today belongs to Mongolian Grove. It's Mongolian Grove, wire to wire in the Oscar again under Abel Sadio. McKenzie settles for second.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Stride to stride, a furlong to run. One bad boy, never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
And Firenze Fire has taken the lead. Imperial Hint will try to battle back on the inside. Can he do it? Firenze Fire, Imperial Hint's coming back. These two coming down to the line. Very close. Did Imperial Hint come back? Oh, he's got so much heart.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Very busy morning. First Saturday in the month of October 2019, opening weekend of the Keeneland Fall Meet. Day two of Fall Stars Weekend. A loaded program here in the Bluegrass later today. You have a big card up at Belmont Park and a huge day at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. Poll question of the day. Threw this out at the top of the show. If you owned a horse and were told you get one shot to win a race, just one, which jockey would you want in the irons? And people weighing in from all over, HRN Nation, John Velasquez, who you just heard from, John Velasquez and Angel Cordero. And it doesn't have to be a current jockey either, by the way. Jerry Bailey, Joel Rosario getting some votes. Frankie Dettori, another one for Johnny. Ramon Dominguez. Big Money Mike, Mike Smith, talked about him at the top of the show. Edgar Prado, Chris McCarron. Nick Juarez, how's that? Nick Juarez getting some votes. Pat Day and Chris Antley. You can weigh in right now. Who is your choice, past or present? If you had to win one race, you only get one shot. Who is it going to be? At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. My thanks to our guests in the first half of the program, Brad Cox, Jose Ortiz, and Johnny V. If you missed any portion, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. Well, each year on this first Saturday of the Keeneland meet, I get a chance to sit down with our expert handicappers, typically three of them, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, and Michael Hernan, as my mentor Pete Coolis used to say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but wasn't going to tell you which was which, right? Isn't that the truth, Johnny?
The truth,
isn't
yeah.
That what he was? He'd say that every year, right?
Yeah, he was a great guy. He was awesome.
Well, Stevie is not here. He had to be a late scratch. Michael is traveling, so he's not here. So I guess it's appropriate that you're the last man standing, considering the fact that you started doing this show with Pete. We talk about it every year, back in what, the mid-80s, I guess.
Yeah, somebody asked me that this morning when I told him I was coming in. I was out at Keeneland, actually, this morning, and they had a great crowd out there for the Sunrise Trackside thing, and I believe it's 35 years now, in succession that I've done this at least one time during the meet. I know you guys have traveled some and you weren't here, but, back, I think it was 1984 when we started doing this, Pete and I, we used to do it outside in the secretary's office in the aisle there.
When I first started with Pete.
Yeah, Pete, of course, there was a lot of noise, a lot of going on, and he would, try and shush everybody because you could hear, all the noise in the background. But, yeah, it was great. He had, what a visionary what he was, to start this. Yeah. I mean, and I remember that, it would just be sometimes during the week he would do it for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that. And then, of course, you guys have taken it to the next level now. And it's just I just wonder what he would think now.
Yeah, I remember he would set up. That was how I got a chance to be introduced to Pete Kulis, is he would set up outside in the hallway of the racing office at Keeneland. And every morning he would do a 20-minute show on our AM affiliate here in Lexington. And he would visit with a jockey agent, a jockey, a trainer, a racing official, and he would just educate people on what that person did, how they did it, and what was required to do it with racing.
Yeah, that's how, exactly right, Mike. And, you know, and of course, a lot of people don't understand what jockey agents do or racing officials do or whatever. And, you know, so it was quite educational, I think, to the public. And just like say, kudos to him. I mean, he was just a real visionary in this. And, just too bad he's not here to see all this.
I remember I started 16 years ago. It was 2003 was my first year on radio with him when we started doing this show together, and I got a chance to meet you and do those shows out at Keeneland. I also remember, I don't think either one of us were wearing reader glasses at that point. We're both sitting here in studio. We can't see
right
a damn
along.
Thing. We can't see a damn thing 16 years later without them.
No, you're right about that. But you know what? Every day is a blessing. And, you know, we're lucky to be here and witness all these great races today that were going to come up, and yesterday, obviously. And you know, just Keeneland's such a special place that, you know, people don't real some of the people that have not been around the country don't realize what a special place this is, you know, and as far as racetracks go. And so as far as coming out today, I think they're expecting a record crowd. But, boy, if you get a chance to come out, please do so, because you're going to enjoy yourself today with all these good horses coming up. And we're going to try and pick a winner or two for
you. We're going to give it our best shot. And great weather should be fast and firm out at Keeneland later today. Temperatures expected to be in the low 80s and plenty of sunshine on this Fall Stars weekend program. Several stakes races on the card. I mentioned at the top of the show you have 18 win in your in races between the races in France and then the races here in the States at Keeneland and Santa Anita and at Belmont Park. That's 18 over the next 2 days. We're going to look at the ones that are going to take place today at Keeneland and Belmont. And if we have time, we'll give you a quick look at the Santa Anita race at the end of the program here. But, Johnny, let's start with Keeneland. We'll start with the first of the greatest stakes, which is the Grade 2 Woodford Stakes, presented by Keeneland Select. And 5.5 furlongs on the turf, field of 10. These are always wide open kind of crapshoot type of races, aren't they?
Every year we say the same thing about these kind of races, and it's the sixth race on the program today. It'll go about 4 o'clock, and they're always competitive, these races, and a lot of times with these short sprint races like this, it's, you know, how a horse breaks, how they get into position. I'll start with my top choice today, and that's actually what when you were talking to Jose Ortiz earlier, and that's actually my top choice. Extravagant Kid is my horse that I put on top today. He's been a very consistent horse this year. He's started 5 times. He has 3 wins, 2 seconds. At this distance, he's been out 17 times. He's got 6 wins, 6 seconds, and 3/3. I mean, so he's a very consistent horse. He's drawn down inside, which is probably okay. That's not a real big concern for me. He doesn't have to be on the lead. Very rarely does get on the lead early. So I think we always said that a lot of times, even though it's these short races, that these come from behind horses have a little bit of an advantage. So, if he gets a good trip, I think he's going to be my top choice. He's 3-1 on the morning line. But I think you're going to get 3-1 because, like I say, there's a couple other horses in here that they're going to have a chance. And my next choice was Doug O'Neill's horse, number 4, Stubbins, who's 6-1 on the line with Joel Rosario.
Yep.
And he's coming out of that Kentucky Downs race, and he finished a good second down there that day. And he was 6 wide, but he kicked on. And I think he's going to have a chance. And one of the horses I think I'll play in the exotics with him. And my third choice in that race is going to be the 3-horse, who is actually the morning line favorite of Joe Orsino's, coming out of that same one of those races down there too. He had some problems that day. He kind of got hemmed in there a little bit, and kind of got behind horses, but he still fought on. I think you're probably going to get more than 2-1 on him. So my choices in there would be 2-4-3 in that order. We'll see exactly how that'll work out.
But, yeah, the three Imprimis certainly can, you know, on his day can be very, very tough. Yeah. Let me ask you this question. As somebody who has followed Keeneland Racing for a very, very long time and been around it for a very long time, can you ever throw out Rusty Arnold in a big race at Keeneland?
Actually, no. Actually, and I was talking to Rusty this morning, but he and I were on there for quite a while this morning talking about a horse. But his horse drew outside, which is good. And Leinster, he was actually my fourth choice, but I couldn't really – I mean, you know, if you're playing exotics and stuff, and you, like say 2-4-3-9 were my choices, and he's the nine horse, Leinster. And, I mean, he ran good, too, last time out. Out of the same races. You know, all these horses, and he was five wide that day. So it's going to just – it's just a matter of – you know, as we always say, it's
who gets the trip.
Who gets the trip? I mean, he won, you know, that race at Saratoga in the Troy in the Grade Three. It was a wonderful race for him. You know, it was a great race for him, and he came off just like he just laid close to the pace and had a great trip, and there he was. You know, so I mean, if he gets another trip, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he wins. And he's 5-1, and Mike and probably going to get 5-1. Like I say, I don't think there's going to be any overwhelming choices in here as far as the odds go.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a good race, good betting race, good betting race. And there's, you know, if you like something in here, like Smart Remark, for instance, I mean, he came out of those same races, too. That's the six horse for Vicky Oliver.
Yep.
I mean, you know, here's a horse here that he I mean, he ran a huge race in that race at Kentucky Downs at 69-1. Now he's 5-1 here. So you're thinking like, you know, well, I don't know if I want to take 5-1 off of 69, but there again, you talk about good riders. You know, what makes good riders? We talked about that earlier a little bit. You know, Johnny, guys like that. And I always said that the good riders, it's up in their head. And this guy, this Javier, he's as good as they come, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He is. He can. He understands. And he, as I can say, as I used to say, he gets it. You know, and like say with Johnny, and there's, I mean, there's, you know, the New York racing. The New York racing right now has probably no doubt about it. They have the best jockey colony in the country.
Yeah,
I mean they've got some guys there that really understand this stuff and can really do it. It reminds me of back in the early days, like when Cordero and Velasquez and Manny Yakaza and Johnny Rotz and those guys were. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a tremendous colony, and they've got that right now. So anytime you get those guys to ride your horse, you got to feel pretty confident about it.
All right. Well, that's the Woodford Stakes. Kicks off the greatest stakes action at Keeneland today. It's race number 6. It will be followed by the Thoroughbred Club of America, Grade 2. It is for the fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, 6 furlongs on the main track. And again, if you're just tuning in, the weather is supposed to be perfect here in Lexington today, so will be a fast main track and a firm turf course. The TCA features 9 of the top filly and mare sprinters in the country, and this is going to be a great showdown here this afternoon.
Yeah, it's they're 9 really good fillies. My top choice in here is going to be the number 8 horse Shallan, trained by Armand Delacour, and she's been out 4 times this year. She's got 2 wins and 2 seconds. She has run 3 times here at Keeneland and hasn't won, but she's been second 3 times. And I just think that right now she's probably as good as she's been in a while. And I think this could be her day. She's 3-1 on the line. Paco Lopez, who won on her last time at Parks in the roaming racial, which was not a graded race, but she ran a very good race that day. I think that she's coming into this in really good shape. She's been training at Fair Hill. I think she's going to be my top choice. My second choice in the race is Mia Mischief,
mm-hmm,
from Steve Asmussen's with Joel Rosario. Her form has been off a little bit. Her last couple of races have not been her, but I think that Joel might be able to get this filly back on track. She's trained very well here at Keeneland. She had a really good work back about a week ago here at Keeneland, and she's one for one, actually, at Keeneland. So I'm going to give her a chance to upset Shallan as my second choice. My third choice is a bit of a long shot, not really a long shot, but she's 7-2 on the line, and that's Hours to Run. That's Larry Jones' filly. If you go back three races back, and it's been a while, obviously. It was at Oaklawn, but Mia Mischief was in there, and she beat Mia Mischief that day. And she's been very consistent. Also, you look at her last six or seven starts, she's either been one or second or third. She's been right there all the time. And it was a good race at Saratoga, even though she didn't win on July 24th in the Honorable Miss. But she was third, only beaten a length, and she drew down inside today, which not the greatest place maybe to be. But I'm going to give her a chance at a little bit of a price, and I think you're going to get more than 7-2. I think she's more like 5-6-1, really.
Yeah, I think she has a big chance to pull off a bit of an upset. The other filly, well, older mare that I like in here is Dawn the Destroyer, number 5 for Kieran McLaughlin. Comes out of that runner-up performance in the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga on August 24th. And, Johnny, I talk about it a lot on the show. I'm a disciple of the Brisnet past performances now, and I love the late pace numbers that show you, they give you a number as to how a horse finishes in their races. And Dawn the Destroyer has some of the best late pace numbers in the field, and I could certainly see the pace falling apart. And if that happens, I can see her being the one to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, she's been right there the last three or four times. She just hasn't won since January of this year back in the Interborough at Aqueduct. But she's got that same, she's got enough speed where she's going to be like a stalker, so to speak. She's only won one race this year out of six starts. But again, if the pace develops right, could be her.
What's the morning line on her?
She is 8-1 on there.
So the price should be fair.
Yeah. Another horse I gave it, it's going to kind of get overlooked a little bit, is Peter Miller's horse, Spice Perfection. She's won two Grade Ones, and she won the Madison here back in April. Now, she hasn't run since May, so, but she's been training at San Luis Rey out there, and she's... So she's coming in kind of fresh, so to speak, and here we go again. We got Javier Castellano. So, we're talking, and he's won on her. He won Madison on her, actually, in the spring. Yeah. So, and she's 7-2, but she might be 5-6-1, too.
All right, that's the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America, race number 7. Post time of 4:29 Eastern. It will be the first of several stakes races you will hear live with us this afternoon on the network. That coverage, 4 to 6:30 Eastern. You can tune in Sirius XM, channel 156. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at three more graded stakes from Keeneland, the Grade 1 First Lady, the Grade 1 Claiborne Breeders Futurity, and the Shadwell Turf Mile. That's all ahead. Right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his four starts by a combined 20 lengths. A six-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At three, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe. Now his much-anticipated first crop has arrived. Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
In the recent Blood Horse Market Watch study of leading consigners with more than 100 yearlings offered from 2014 to 2016, Millridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of stakes horses and winners of $100,000 or more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners. Their consignment at this year's Keeneland September sale includes yearlings from deep families by leading stallions such as Candy Ride, Curlin, Empire Maker, Ghost Sapper, More Than Ready, Quality Road, and Uncle Mo. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Next Shares is 5 lengths off the lead, looking toward the rail in 6. Curbon and Almanar have to swing wide, 8 lengths from the front. Great wide open. Next Shares move either side, heart to heart. Analyze it there on the outside. Synchrony runs late from 5th toward the rail. Next Shares charging up the inside for Tyler Gaffalione. A 5 length lead to Great Wide Open. Analyze it. And then Curbon, it is Next Shares at 23-1 to win the Shadwell Turf Mile in 1 minute 36.97 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios with John Gasper of John Gasper Bloodstock, taking a look at all the big races around the country. Today, a big day at Keeneland that includes Next Shares. That was Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Shadwell Turf Mile. Next Shares back to defend that title later today in this year's renewal. We're going to take a look at that race in this next segment. We'll get to that here momentarily, but the Grade 1 First Lady is coming up next. Want to remind you, though, that you can have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news, plus analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with Blood Horse Daily and the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone. Updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. You can also listen to the news on your Alexa device. All of those are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up for the daily email. John, the Grade 1 First Lady is part of what is a massive day of thoroughbred racing here in the Bluegrass. Field of 14 will go. It's race number 8, post time 5:04, and all eyes going to be on number 11, Rushing Fall, who is the 9-5 morning line favorite.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you don't get many 14-horse fields for the bettors, and even though it's a large field, I think that Rushing Fall is definitely the horse to beat. Chad Brown has two in there, obviously, but she's been so good here at Keeneland. You know, she started 4 times here at Keeneland and won them all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, she's just – here we go again, Javier Castellano. I mean, he's ridden her every time. And she's either been first or second. I mean, she's been just amazing filly. She's been 10 times. She started 10 times, and she's been had 8 wins in 2 seconds and made almost $2 million. The daughter, More Than Ready, who's just an outstanding sire. I mean, he's just been so consistent through his career that, you know, what are you going to say? I mean, she's just amazing horse, you know. And his other filly, Uni,
he may
run 1-2, maybe a dead heat.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, she ran against the boys last time in the 4-star Dave and got beat 2 lengths, and I mean, it's a, you know, and she got she was literally got pretty far back that day, and she kind of got in. She was inside, and she had to alter. She split horses late and kind of got rolling. But Joel Rosario rides her, and he had, up until then, he'd won until that third place finish. He'd won three straight on her. And two grade ones there, too. So, I mean, it's an outstanding field of horses. I mean, just an outstanding field. And, earlier you talked to Brad Cox about his filly, Juliet Foxtrot.
Yep.
I mean, she hadn't done a whole lot wrong either. I mean, you know, since she's come to this country, she's run four times. She's had three wins and a second, and she got beat a nose that day by Vasilica, who's also in here. So, I mean, it's like, holy criminy. I mean, you just feel... You feel very fortunate to have any of these horses right in here right now, but I have to put Chad's horses on top 1-2 in there, and another kind of a long shot horse in here that's 12-1 on the morning line that I'm going to give a chance to, and she came out of the ladies' turf down there at Kentucky Downs is Bill Mott's horse, Mitchell Road. She didn't run very well against Rushing Falls in the Diana at a mile and an eighth, but prior to that, she had an outstanding record, just one, not either wins or seconds, and just about every time she's run. And I think that she's going to, coming out of that Kentucky Downs race, and she's been training over at Churchill, I'm going to give her a chance in there in the exotics, Mitchell Road with Julian Le Peru on her. She's 12-1 on the line. And Vasilica, who we were just talking about, is another. I mean, you can't leave her out. She's a win machine, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had 18 wins out of 34 starts. Most of them don't even start 18 times, and she's got 18 wins. And this year, she's 5 out of 6.
And 10 for 20 at the distance, so yeah, she wins half of those.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this one, that one, could this one win, could that one? Sure. You know, sure they could win. And some of these horses that there's been, some of these horses that we don't know a whole lot about that we haven't talked about. I mean, any one of these horses that if they throw their best race in are going to have a chance, you know, like say Aidan O'Brien's horse, the 13, mm-hmm. just wonderful. Coming out of two grade ones over there. We don't know a lot about those horses, or I don't anyway, about those horses over there, but she only got to be 3/4 of a length the other day. Back in the middle of September, and she has run on Lasix before. She ran in the Belmont Oaks in July and was second there to Concrete Rose. Now, if Concrete Rose was in here, she'd have to give her a big chance.
Yeah.
So she's back here again to run, back on Lasix again, I don't know that rider, whoever Lord
Wayne Lorden.
Wayne Lorden. I don't know much about him, but obviously he did ride her a couple of times, and he rode her in the Belmont Oaks, so he knows her. She didn't draw a favorable post in number 13, but a horse like that, could she win? Absolutely, she could win. Might be a little bit short for her at a mile, but. She's coming off of a mile race that she was got beat 3/4 of a length. But, if it sets up right for her, yeah, she could win. She could definitely win.
Considering that this is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, it's appropriate that this field would shape up to be a Breeders' Cup caliber type of field. And if you think there's a way that you can beat Rushing Fall, you're going to get paid one way or the other. If you think she's not what she's – as advertised, but she certainly looks like she is. But if you think she can get beat, then you're going to get paid.
Yeah, absolutely. And take a horse like, okay, here's another horse, Indian Blessing, the 7 horse. Okay, she ran a dynamite race in the Ballston Spa up there at Saratoga back in August 24th, first time on Lasix, got beat a neck. I mean, there's another one. I mean, could she win? She said, absolutely, she could win.
I can see her being underneath.
Yeah.
She, not that she likes it, but she tends to run, second and third far more than she tends to win, especially here in the States.
Right.
So I could see her being one of those exacta trifecta. You could go, if you're looking for a trifecta horse to round out the trifectas or the superfectas, you can just hit the all button.
Yeah, that's exactly, because she ran here last fall in the First Lady. If you look down, and you have to go back in October last year, and she was third that day,
yep,
beating 2 lengths. And, you know, so it's
to another was, Chad Brown horse.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Chad we trust.
Right.
You know, I mean, it should be on the license plate. But, I mean, he's outstanding, obviously. And as even as some of his peers have said, he's taken what Bobby Frankel has taught him and taken it to the next level, you know. But I think it's – you're right, Mike. Rushing Fall, I think it's her day. I think it's her horse, her race to win, and it's just going to be hard to go against her.
All right, that's race number 8. It will be followed by the 9th, which is the Grade 1 Claiborne Breeders Futurity, purse of $500,000. This one always a fun race. It is for the 2-year-old boys, and field of 10 going to go a mile and a 16th here at Keeneland. Keep in mind that is a short stretch, short finish line. They have 2 finish lines here at Keeneland, and this one, so when they turn for home, they won't have quite as much time to make up ground. But Governor Morris for Todd Pletcher is the morning line favorite at 5-2 with your man, Javier Castellano, in the irons. Yeah,
again, I mean, these guys are just, I mean, there's a reason they're here. They're here to look for these Breeders' Cup horses, and they're on some horses that'll do the job. And he's my top choice, Governor Morris. He's only run one time, and it was in the slop, so it's, you know, as you know, Mike, these horses sometimes when they get on these sloppy tracks, like especially like at Saratoga where we really get sloppy, they get to the front and other horses kind of, I don't want to say give up, but they'll kind of go on and open up, you know. But even though he won by 9 lengths, I mean, and you could see, and he was bumped that day at the start, and he was 4 to 6 wide actually, and he was 65 cents on a dollar. Yeah. So he was well meant the whole time. And Constitution has had a terrific year in his first year or so. And he was an expensive colt. I mean, you look down there, he was at the Fasig Tipton March sale.
$600,000.
He was $600,000. So, I mean, he's shown some brilliance for, for his short career that he's had. He drew number 10, which to me, I don't think that's going to matter. I think he's got enough speed where he's going to be able to get a position going to the first turn. That he was my top choice. Mark Cassie's horse, Tapped to Win, the one horse, who I thought was a pretty good winner up there at Saratoga that day. He came off of a race at Woodbine on the turf where he'd finished second, and they brought him up to Saratoga and ran him on the dirt, which I think that's where he really wants to do. And he did have a really good trip that day. He got an inside trip, and but he went on and did it the way he's supposed to, and he's certainly bred to go around 2 turns by Tapping Out of Medaglia d'Oro Mare, and for the Live Oak Plantation, and who is the breeder, actually, and Charlotte Weber has been an advocate of this game for a long, long time.
Yeah,
so
all class.
Yeah, she is, and no doubt about it. But I give that horse a chance, and he's 3-1. I think he's going to be more than 3-1 in there.
Without Hernan here, don't I have to pick him on top?
No, yeah, exactly.
In honor of Michael Hernan's absence, I have to pick a Tappet somewhere on the show.
Exactly, yeah, you do. So. But, you know, and the way you heard Jose Ortiz talk about the 6 horse in there, Maxfield, who's 12-1, it won't be 12-1 after, I don't think, after if anybody's listening to this program today, but, you know, he talked about this horse being that day at Churchill being a speed race, speed bias track, and that horse came from last,
yeah,
basically, and won. So, and he was pretty excited about this colt. So, and be honest with you, he wasn't in my figures, but he is going to be now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I gotta use him in there, and I have to use him in the exotics. But you know, these horses, it's just like yesterday with Brad's filly that won the L Spotties. These 2-year-olds, they just improve in leaps and bounds right now this time of year. So, you know, you see horses that have only run once, twice, and then they throw in a big one. You say, why? Well, they just, you know, sometimes it just takes a while for them to mature, and it's going to be an exciting race again today. I'm glad there's only 10 in there, so I think everybody will have a fair chance. You know,
yeah,
it's not one of those 14-horse fields. Like I say, it's a short wire, so these guys are going to, you know, have them in position when they leave the turn to try and win. So, my top choice will be Todd's horse, Governor Morris, Tapped to Win, Maxfield, Eddie Keneally's horse got a chance in there, I think, too. He ran on a sloppy track the other day, but his first two races were on fast tracks, and they were great races. They were really good races up there. He won the Sanford very easily. You know, he may just not have liked that. He might not have liked that sloppy track up there at on Hopeful Day.
Yeah, By Your Side.
By Your Side. He's 6-1, probably be 8 or 10-1.
Yeah, yeah. Know, so. Well, that Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, again, all part of our coverage today. You can tune in 4 to 6:30 Eastern. Anthony Stabile, Steve Grabowski will have you covered for 2.5 hours. You'll also hear Winning Your In Action from Belmont Park, and you can tune in SiriusXM 156 on affiliates across the country, and you can always stream us worldwide anywhere you might be. Bluetooth us in your car, whatever you have to do, at horseracingradio.net. Johnny, that moves us to the final graded stake of the afternoon at Keeneland. It's a big one, too. The grade one Shadwell Turf Mile, purse of $1 million, and it's for the 3-year-olds and up, going 1 mile on that firm turf course. Next Shares, defending champion, looking to get back to the winner's circle after kind of a rough patch here over the past few starts. We'll see if he can rebound later today. But all I have to say is you have 14 horses, two also eligibles, a 5-1 morning line favorite. Good luck with this one.
Yeah, it's a very good race. And we heard, again, as you were talking to Jose Ortiz about admission office for Brian Lynch.
Loves him.
Who loves him. And, I mean, he's 1-for-1 here at Keeneland. He won back in April, even though it was just an allowance race. But I mean, you look at—I mean, he's—I mean, look at that form on that horse. Holy cow! I mean, he's win, second, third, win, win. I mean, he—he's got a big chance, I think, today at a decent price. I mean, 8-1 might—I may not get 8, but you probably get 5 on him anyway, I would think. And he's going to have a big chance today. And another horse of actually a Chad's horse. He's a 3-year-old by Scat Daddy, Valid Point. I mean, he's 3-for-3. He won the Secretariat in great fashion up there at Arlington that day. And I remember in that race that, I mean, Javier just kind of like cruised around there and just shut him down basically after he won, after he got to the front of him. He knew he had him, and, it was and not only is he 3-for-3, he's 3-for-3 at the distance at the mile. Mm-hmm. So he is a 3-year-old running against older horses. That's always a concern. But again, he's 5-1 with Javier. I mean, you got to give him a big chance in there. I do anyway. And
let me get this straight. So if Javier has a big day today, you're going to have a big day.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, but you know, that's what these guys do. I mean, you know, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a lot of good riders in my day, and this is what they do. This is what you want them to do. This is what they live for. You know, I mean, they want to win races, sure, but these are the kind of horses that they look forward to. And yeah, okay, if you talk to Javier, he thinks he can win. You talk to Jose, he thinks he can win. You talk to Joel, he thinks. But that's good. You know, that's what they think they can do. They know these horses. And yeah, is it, you know, it's obviously it's up to the horse some a lot of it too, but you know, and maybe the horse is not going to have a good day today, and that happens. But these guys are so confident in what they do, and they're, you know, they're used to riding big races, so it's not like, you know, there's little stuff running down their leg when they come to the paddock. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
They're just, you know, I mean.
They're not going to be intimidated.
No, it's just, you know.
The moment's not too big for them.
I don't want to say it's another race for them, but in a way it is. You know,
yeah.
And they're going to have a big, you know, they're going to, these kind of guys, that they throw in, you know, they throw in those kind of, those kind of races for them. It's just another day. But, back, we got a couple of these horses here that we don't know a lot about. One of them coming out from France, another from Ireland, you know, like Charlie Appleby's horse getting LASIK's first time out. He won a grade two his last start in Germany at Baden-Baden, you know. So you don't know how good those horses are. Master Craftsman's been a very good sire. And you know how we've seen these horses come over here before and do the job, you know. And there's several of them in here, as you can look down your program and see, you know. And
James Doyle, too, in the Iron. Isn't that Sophie's brother?
It is Sophie's brother. And he's coming over here to ride, and I don't think he's wasting his time. You know, I mean, he must think he's got some kind of chance. And, you know, a horse like this, you look back, okay, his last race was in Germany. The race before that was at Chantilly in France. Then he was at Goodwood in Great Britain. I mean, he's been at Maidan in the Dubai. I mean, he's been all over the world, this horse, so he must be a pretty good traveler.
Yeah, it's number 8 Vintager, by the way, yeah, that we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, and he's 10-1, probably going to be more than 10-1 because most people don't know him. But, it's hard to, could he win? Yeah, he could win. He could certainly win.
Yeah. It's a wide open renewal of the Shadwell Turf Mile. We're up against a break. We have to get to a break. Make sure we have enough time to take a quick look at the two grade ones at Belmont today, the Champaign, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. We will do that when we come back. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Racing fans, with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming to Santa Anita for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, top sprinters, including Omaha Beach, the early favorite for this year's Kentucky Derby, are expected to prep here on Saturday for the $2 million Breeders' Cup Sprint in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Also on Saturday, we'll have the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile and the Grade 3 LA Woman Stakes. First post time this weekend is at 12:30, Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does. A way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and $50 for every $5,000 wagered with code HRRN10 at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Adena Springs is home to two of the most exciting young stallions in Kentucky, Point of Entry and Mucho Macho Man. A 5-time Grade 1 winner, Point of Entry is the number one third crop sire by A Runner Index. In 2019 alone, the heir to Dynaformer's legacy is the sire of UAE Derby winner Puska Parfait, Breeders' Cup Mile contender Admission Office, and Graded Place 2-year-old Tuggle. Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man is the leading second crop sire by Black Type Wins, led by Del Mar Grade 2 winner Mucho Unusual, and the incredibly tough and consistent Mucho Gusto, who has more lifetime graded wins or placings than any 3-year-old in his crop. Point of Entry and Mucho Macho Man are the latest stallions to carry on the classic bloodlines and classic performance tradition at Adena Springs. Call Ken Wilkins or Donald Wells today about 2020 seasons and visit AdenaStallions.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Secret Odds running the race of his 2-year-old life, but Z Hero is right at his neck on the outside, and they're 3/16 off Z Hero, charging hard now on the outside. Secret Odds is battling bravely, and the others are well behind. Westcott is a distant third, and strolling along is now fourth, and it's going to be Z Hero, a new 2-year-old star. Look at him charge under the line. Second, and Prescott was third, equaling the ancient stakes record here of 1:34 4/5 seconds. Absolutely spectacular. Z Hero wins the Champaign in an upset.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 1992 renewal of the Champaign Stakes. C Hero would go on and win the Kentucky Derby later that year, and he is the last horse to pull off the Champaign Kentucky Derby double. We'll see if the Derby winner is among this year's field later today at Belmont Park. We're going to talk about the Champagne and the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic momentarily. Want to update you on some answers to the poll question. The poll question today, so many people participating. If you owned a horse and were told you get one shot to win a race, which jockey would you want in the irons? And I think maybe the winner of this poll question goes to TVG's Mike Joyce, who chimes in and says, ever, with a question mark, shoe. Currently, Johnny V. At the height of his powers, Kent. Currently on injured reserve, Nakatani. Fifth answer, just because, Rosario. And after a touch more seasoning and he'll take the mantle, Drayden Van Dyke. Great answer from Mike Joyce of TVG. You can go ahead and weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and of course, email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. How about for you, Johnny?
You could tell he was from California, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All those guys, even, you know, Joel, of course, we think he's an East Coast guy, but actually where he started was out there, and he was, you know, obviously had plenty of success everywhere he's gone, but yeah.
How about for you? You get one jockey.
Boy, I don't know. That's a really tough question. Like, say you go back, I don't know, like say Shoemaker was probably as good as there was, and up into his later years even, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, golly, you could just go so many guys. Angel, you know, Angel Cordero. I mean, gee me Christmas, how many, you know.
Yeah, and I guess we could really get technical with this poll question and say, okay, on turf, on dirt, sprint. But just in general, you get one shot to win a horse race. Who's your guy? Big Money Mike Smith, Johnny V, currently as good as they get.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know, take like Shug, for instance, with, I mean, he's got extreme confidence in Johnny, you know, extreme confidence in him. Not that he doesn't in Jose rides horses for him, Ortiz and other guys, and Joel too, but he's just, I don't know, I think just, you know, he's been around Johnny a long time. And I remember when I was in New York with Randy, I think, with Randy Romero, Johnny just came around. I remember when he had the bug.
Yeah.
And Ralph Thoreau Sr. had his book.
Oh, wow.
And, I remember, you know, he was just kind of, I mean, nobody knew who he was, obviously, and he struggled, you know, to get mounts, just like every other guy coming into New York that nobody knew, and then, but they were mentoring him at the whole time. I mean, you know, they were still, I mean, well, Angel was still riding at that point, you know, so, and now he's his agent, but, so they had plans for him. It, like, say, it takes time. They're like horses, you know, it takes time to develop them.
Yep.
You know,
so,
but anyway.
All right, so we literally have like 3 minutes before we have to get to our final break. We're going to look at the Joe Hirsch and the Champagne.
Okay. My top choice in here will be, Billy Mott's horse again with Johnny V on Channel Maker. He's 7-2 on the line. I thought he's been close a few times. His last three starts, but I think today might be his breakthrough day. I just got a feeling that this mile and a half is going to be a it's not a big field of seven horses. I think he's going to have a big chance, along with Channel Cat, the two horse at Todd's. All these horses have run against each other. Again, it's a trip thing. Chad's horse, Yaprimo, is kind of a question mark. I don't know what happened to him in the Sword Dancer. He ran a huge race in the Bowling Green, was second to Channel Cat. But anyway, that's my choice, Channel Maker, for Todd, for Bill Mott and the
Joe Hirsch. And then the Champagne, Green Light Go, going to take a lot of money.
What a horse this horse is. I mean, he could be a really, really, really good horse. And Jimmy Jerkins, I mean, he's just he's just a horseman. That's all. I mean, that's all you can say about Jimmy. I mean, he doesn't miss a beat on him, and
his dad was pretty good too.
He was pretty darn good, pretty darn good. And both of these guys think out of the box on these horses, you know. But I think he's the horse to beat. He's not gone that far, but he's certainly bred to go that far. And I would be surprised if anybody beats him today. I mean, Jimmy's he's not going to take him over unless he thinks he's got, you know, shooting tops on him, and I think he is today. This horse, Tis the Law of Barkley Tags, is a New York bred, but he ran really well last time. He's going to be a huge price. I think he's going to be more than 5-2. And
yeah,
you know, and
another Constitution.
Jeremiah Englehart's horse is coming off a maiden race, going 7/8 and galloped in. I gave him a chance in there too, and you know, it's. But I still think Jimmy's horse, the Green Light Go, is the one. So that he would be my top choice. And I tell you, he's going to be – I don't know whether – it would be interesting to see. Obviously, he would go to the Breeders' Cup because Mr. Stronach owns him. And, of course, it's at California. So I hope that he runs well today and that he can go out there and compete in the Breeders' Cup.
All right. Well, we won't have time to look at the Santa Anita race, but we got you covered for Keeneland and Belmont Park. Don't forget coverage of those races, 4 o'clock Eastern, SiriusXM 156, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Johnny, as always, been a lot of fun to have you in studio with me and catch up. And good stuff, my friend. Good luck at the races today.
All right. Well, thank you. And, you know, the Godfather's probably listening out there. And remember, Godfather, just because they run on the flat doesn't mean it's on the level.
There you have it. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
The Woodbine fall turf season continues with stakes action every weekend. Join us for live racing every Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. Eastern, Friday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 p.m. On October 12th, Grade 1 turf racing returns as the world comes to Woodbine for the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International and the Grade 1 EP Taller Stakes. For more racing and horse player information, please visit woodbine.com.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, October 12th for the 33rd annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics. It's the premier night of racing for West Virginia breds on the calendar and features this year's Charlestown Classic champion Runnin' to Love Ya. You look to become racing's newest millionaire while joining the likes of the great Russell Road as a repeat winner of the West Virginia Breeders' Classic. The card features 9 stakes races worth $1 million in total. It's all coming up on Saturday, October 12th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree, with first crop yearlings selling for up to $250,000 at Keeneland this November. Look for 9 yearlings by Anchor Down selling at Fasig Tipton October. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like, just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Well, busy weekend of racing coast to coast and worldwide. And Abel going to the post tomorrow in the Prix de la Arc de Triomphe. Maybe her final career start. Maybe not. Maybe we'll see her here to defend that title in the Breeders' Cup turf in November. Don't forget, we are your exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You can go to horseracingradio.net to see a complete broadcast schedule. We will be on site all week long, Breeders' Cup week, to bring you every race and our Breeders' Cup countdown shows as well leading into them. We'll be live from Santa Anita. Make sure you visit horseracingradio.net to see that schedule and to listen to the podcast of this show. If you missed my interview with trainer Brad Cox or with jockey Jose Ortiz in the first half of the program, if you missed that fantastic interview with John Velasquez as our industry star of the week in the first half of the show, or any of the selections made by John Gasper of John Gasper Bloodstock with me here in studio as we looked at all the big races in the second half, just head over to horseracingradio.net and download the podcast. You can listen at your leisure and get ready for all the big races today and follow us down that road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Again, coverage this afternoon kicking off at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Anthony Stabile, Steve Grabowski, SiriusXM 156. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, same SiriusXM channel and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. My thanks to all of our guests for helping to make this show possible. For Chauncey, handling all of our social media. For Lee Delapina, my producer here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio, pushing all the right buttons. I'm Mike Penna. Tune in this afternoon for live Win and You're In coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And as always, hey, we got one. Go Steelers!